I'll now give the floor to Ana Maria Suarez. Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to agree with Smita. I'd like to very much thank everybody, particularly the delegations who've had issues with this topic. The fact that you're still here with us and you stand ready to listen is, of course, very important for a democratic debate such as this one. I'd like to begin by reminding us that collective rights are different to the collective exercise of rights or the exercise in community, because what we're talking about is our collective rights or rights governing the collective use of some kind of good or resource. Let me refer to coastal waters, which was raised by the fisher people, or traditional knowledge, or the use to a healthy environment. We've heard a great deal about international standards that have helped to enrich the debate, but we must remember that there are standards and also national constitutions that have recognized it. I'm Colombian in origin, and in our constitution in chapter 3, it includes several articles which refer explicitly to collective rights in the environment. And not only in these articles, but it also has legal mechanisms for implementation, such as mechanism for popular action and other legal mechanisms for peasants, such as reservation, being able to place a reservation or recognition of collective rights of ethnic communities. So this is a practice that is interesting to bring up, because the UN is a melting pot of different legal cultures, legal systems. Perhaps the hesitancy to accept or acknowledge collective rights. I don't want to be too hard-hitting in what I say, but if you place a liberal Western view on the relationship of natural resources with land and environment, then I think that recognition of collective rights actually requires us to acknowledge the pluricultural nature of this world, and it's much more than this one vision of the world. It's important for us to recognize, therefore, both individual and collective rights. I'd also like to refer to what was said about violations. I remember a case of a community that saw violation of many of its human rights by the use of a river within the community. In that case, if each individual in the community had exercised their right to access to the river, it wouldn't necessarily have meant that that river would have been protected. That's why they needed to exercise their collective right to use of the river through mechanisms that are in keeping with what we are recognizing in the declaration. Furthermore, in some conversations that I had with women, for example, in the Africa region, they explained that recognition to the collective use of land is a very important way for them to be able to gain access to the land and also to be able to maintain use of the resources. I'd like to underline a few elements that are important for the recognition of collective rights. The first is that, of course, this is a way of producing goods, but it's also part of the peasant culture, the peasant way of life. And we all gain from that, also those of us who are living in urban areas. And it's also a contribution to peace and social cohesion. For example, when people leave the ancestral lands, they move towards cities, they don't have ways of subsistence, they fall into petty crime or other acts of delinquency, and those are not really of course the fundamental principles of the UN Charter come into play here, because we're supposed to uphold and preserve peace. There is such a disconnect when it comes to the balance of powers and the private elites that dominate vis-a-vis the small-scale farmers. Collective rights, you see, are the only way in which this injustice can be rectified or addressed. Often, the way laws are adopted mean that this imbalance is legal. But it does not stop this being a material injustice to the detriment of the peasant communities. For example, when we see how environmental reserves are used, that affects the collective community, and yet communities do not have any way of defending themselves other than exercising a collective right. Now, by way of conclusion, I think that the proposal put forward by Smita and strengthened by Christophe to have some text in Article 28 that is similar to the first paragraph of Article 26 could perhaps be a way of dealing with some of the concerns of some countries regarding collective rights. And I would appeal to the need to respond to the requirement that peasants and other people working in rural areas see their rights recognized. Thank you very much.